Path of Night is an actual play Vampire the Masquerade podcast set in the classic World of Darkness. We're all friends, we're here to have fun, but our story can include graphic violence, drug use, sexual content, and other mature themes. We've talked at our table about safety, comfort, and consent, both as players and storytellers. We know what to expect, we're all excited to be here, and we want you to feel the same. So listener discretion is advised. Now, let's walk the Path of Night.
Last time on Path of Night, the Corduroy woke to find their haven aflame. Together, they scrambled to put it out while Johnny managed to kill their mortal attackers, though at the cost of his humanity. The group learned that the attack was personal and followed the clues. They also discovered that Arabella Rowlands has a connection to the Order of the Cloven Hoof, an old coven of witches who seek the Ur Codex. Group of you are gathered up, and together as a quarry, you head to meet Quentin King, ruler of Boston. It isn't long before the cars pull up that you begin to notice that there's something about this place that is very disconcerting. There's a number of people that seem to kind of walk along the street, head to a corner, check their phone, and walk right back the way they came, stop at the corner again, turn around, check their phone, and walk this circuit. And this is true of about a dozen people you can kind of count out wandering the streets, operating as some sort of human surveillance system.
Do you think they're the same ones who are looking for us?
Who's in the car with us?
It is just the group of you and Sullivan.
It's possible, unless the prince has his own surveillance network, but it wouldn't be.
Sully, are any of these people looking out on the street corners yours?
These guys are, they work for the Domain, and they're meant to kind of keep an eye out for any signs of trouble. Rumors of Sabbat.
That makes sense.
What do the rumors say?
Well, the rumors say that Sabbat are moving on the East Coast, and Boston's one of the main targets.
That makes sense.
Well, we're here. It's time to go.
Okay.
Johnny peeks out the window. Where are we?
You find yourself outside the Boston Opera House. It looks like all of the security measures that this place has in effect are centered around that site. Sullivan escorts the group of you in, and it is not long before you can see kindred pass by here and there, dressed to the nines. This is definitely an Elysium. At a certain point, one of the bully boys, a very nondescript-looking person, kind of giving the impression this is probably a Nosferatu, they approach and they're like, "Excuse me, we're going to need your weapons. Your weapons. None of that's allowed here, so."
Yeah, okay. Over the suit, Neil unzips his fanny pack and hands him over just a pepper spray.
I'm checking. I thought we left the weapons in the car.
I mean, the heavy-duty ones we did. I don't know if anybody else has got stuff on them.
No, Wynn would leave her pistol in the car.
Niels has got a bag of garbage around his waist. So
I don't remember where the knife is.
Ruining your suit look.
But if I have a knife, I'll hand it over.
Johnny probably is carrying a steak in his jacket, and he has his boot knife on him. The matte black axe, I think, is in the duffel bag. So, yeah, just pulls out the boot knife, puts that in possession of the bully boy, along with a wooden stake.
Oh, knives. That's right. And Neil digs through his little fanny pack and pulls out, like, a letter opener-sized knife.
You could probably hold on to that. Just kind of moves on.
Oh, thanks.
Wynn hands over a set of brass knuckles.
Thank you.
I didn't bring any weapons.
Blondie, you got something?
No.
All right. What about you?
Well, here's a better question. Storyteller, did our occasionally amnesiatic Toreador leave her weapons behind, or did she accidentally?
She is armed to the teeth.
Just pulls a full rifle out of her dress. Like, what the fuck?
It's just the parts of it.
Bretta will hand over a knife.
It kind of like meets your eyes, gives like a nod, just takes the knife.
Yeah.
It's then that you're allowed to travel deeper past the foyer, and into the actual one of the theater spaces. As you get there, you see an unusual sight. The lights are dim. There's a handful of kindred in the room, and one of them is this man with kind of like a shoddy haircut, sitting in a like soft old like recliner chair, but as treating as though it's some sort of a throne. And flanking him is a group of people, three on each side. And he looks, he carries himself in the manner as if he is holding court, but kindred of this domain seem to be like attempting to avoid him at all costs. They avoid the spaces that he looks. They kind of don't really talk when they're in the same room as him. You can feel this tension. But the moment that the group of you enter, something about you catches his attention immediately. Despite all of his like eerie presence, there's this whimsy when he sees you. He smiles bright, waves. Hello, come over.
Britta very automatically waves back.
Yes, you.
She'll start to walk over.
Neil, being in the presence of these Malkavians, immediately starts walking over as soon as commanded.
You can kind of feel this thrum come from them.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny will keep step at a respectful few paces back from Britta, but kind of flanking her, like trying to give out an air of a bodyguard more than anything else.
You're very late for your meeting. I was holding court, so I couldn't meet with all of you right away, but I'm here now, and you're here now.
We appreciate it, Your Grace.
His Grace is also here now, and together we will meet, and we will discuss your involvement with our future plans.
I'm definitely bringing up the rear and just trying not to talk based on the amount of information I've received about how much people hate my clan in this particular area.
Of course, Your Grace. Neil is not managing to make eye contact like more than normal in a very deferential, like clan pecking order kind of way.
Wynn kind of follows with Johnny, kind of flanking the other side of Britta. Symmetry, if nothing else, but also to just give this idea that she has backup.
I'm to understand you are members of the New Haven Domain, is that correct?
We are, Your Grace.
Is it true that it's overrun by Sabbat?
No, Your Grace.
Well, it's very concerning because I'm hearing that it is.
There was an issue, but it was dealt with, Your Grace.
Well, what was the issue?
Well, someone dropped off a lupine to attack Elysium.
Oh my. What is your name?
My name is Britta. Britta Ashcroft, Your Grace.
Oh, I'm sorry. You are not acknowledged. You can't actually speak here.
I apologize. She backs away.
You look like a smart person. He looks at Wynn.
I appreciate the compliment, Your Grace.
Tell me the story.
Of the lupine?
Well, yes, now definitely tell me that one, but I was actually asking about the Sabbat.
We were holding court one night, and you're going to have to... I apologize, Your Grace, I am not a gifted storyteller.
Well, which one of you is?
She looks to Johnny.
Don't withhold this from me. Speak.
Are you familiar with the tactics of the Sabbat, sire?
I am most certainly not.
It is something that... their deplorable sect enjoys to do, kidnapping a lupine and releasing it inside of a court. They thought it would disrupt New Haven. Unfortunately, myself and my coterie mate dispatched the werewolf before it could rampage any further than the Elysium.
Werewolf? Yes, Your Grace, it's true. We're not for this coterie. The domain of New Haven would have fallen. And stepping into the room to kind of join you for this conversation is Roman Pendragon.
Prince Pendragon.
Hello, Johnny.
Wynn kind of lowers her head.
I am most pleased that the group of you were able to make it. The Malkavian prince interjects. Well, hold on now. So at what point of the story was the Sabbat involved?
Well... they merely brought the lupine, thinking that would be enough to break the back of New Haven.
And then it was not?
It was not. There's been some reports that they've conducted some... what would you say?
Raids?
No. Vandalism. They attacked a Dunkin' Donuts.
A needle in a haystack.
What, very astute, my prince. If the Sabbat were truly running amok, I think it would be more than just a scattered handful of Sabbat making practical jokes around New Haven. But unfortunately, it's just that.
Well, it is my expectation that any camera of the domain will not allow the Sabbat to make fun of it. So, bravo.
Britta's keeping her head dipped in respect to having been told to be quiet.
Well, I grant the group of you hospitality. That is, of course, so long as you continue to work in service of Mr. Pendragon, His Grace. And when you are finished, you are free to leave.
Thank you, Your Grace.
Thank you, Your Grace.
Thank you, Your Grace.
Thank you.
Britta dips her head once more.
If, Your Grace, we may ask a favor of you. Britta Ashcroft here. You're correct, she has not yet been acknowledged. But, as part of her accounting, we, her coterie mates, have decided that she needs to be instructed in how to interact with other domains. If you would allow her to perhaps be a bit more, vocal during her stay here, we think that your domain would be very instructive in showing her how to behave when outside of her own domain.
You display great wisdom for your clan. I say, is she under your accounting?
She is under the accounting of my coterie mate.
The other woman?
No, Your Grace. The gentleman to my left.
Oh. How did that happen? Tell me another story.
It was a dark and stormy night.
Yes. He, like, leans forward to hear more.
And a young girl was found having been embraced, and she was taken in by the domain of New Haven and decided that she would do far more good for the domain alive than dead. And so she was placed under the accounting of someone who had shown himself to be responsible.
But Venture are the worst at accountings. They take forever.
My lord, my coterie mate Miles.
Yes?
He is the one.
He is unable to speak for himself because he's taken a vow of silence.
Very wise for a venture.
You see, my lord, he has been dishonored by the actions of his fellow Ventru.
Quite typical.
Who is running amok in your city. And he has sworn an oath of vengeance to retrieve her and will not speak in your presence until this has been done so.
I really wish the audience could see Tim physically biting his fist right now.
This is
his lip is fully in his mouth.
This is pretty painful. just FYI.
Thank you for dealing with
this. This venture man is humiliated and will not speak in my presence.
He has taken an oath to see a wrong righted.
I see. And this young Toreador lady is under his accounting.
That is correct, my lord.
But he cannot speak for her.
Not until the problem is solved.
Where is my harpy? And an incredibly nervous person comes over. Miles, you actually recognize this person has, like, pins associated with the dignitas that they have earned over time. Don't worry. It isn't time for your beating. What I do need to know is... I would like you to write a missive to His Grace, the Prince of New Haven, informing him of a modification to the standing of kindred who normally reside within his domain. And they're like, yes, yes, of course. And they kind of like, you can see their hands like fidget and knuckles like turn white as they tense and get ready to take these like notes down. And I'm sorry, what is the name, her name?
Britta Ashcroft,
yes.
Britta
Ashcroft, you're right.
Well, this is a formal... This is not the time for nicknames. Brittany, come forward, please.
Britta keeps looking down until she's told not to and steps forward.
I'm going to ask you the most typical question that is asked of any kindred that intends to become part of the Kimmerla. What is the most important of the traditions and why?
Britta takes in a deep breath and answers, Domain, Your Grace.
And why is that?
Because as prince, you stand for the rest of it.
That is correct. The camera begins and ends with its princes. Nothing else really matters. Anyways, so let it be known, especially to the Court of New Haven, that you are formally acknowledged as a member of the Camarilla.
Britta's eyes go real wide at the ground. She does look up after he acknowledges her. She swallows and kind of like manages a bare nod, and afterwards remembers to turn it into like more of a respectful like dip of the head and murmurs, "Thank you."
Very good. Record this, Harpy, and P.S. take that, Rollins. And
I'm sorry. Would you make sure to write in there, addressed to Rollins, "Don't turn your ass, motherfucker."
I mean, I was kind of mad, and then he said that, and then I kind of shrugged, and I was like,
"Fair enough."
Fair enough.
Gotcha, bro.
No. If you'll excuse me, I'm going to go walk my venture, and the group of you are free to have your conversation with His Grace, Roman Pendragon. I see you, and he like kind of like points at like Roman Pendragon, like, you know, like a pow, like we're cool friends. And it just washes over Roman, and he is just completely unfazed by any attempts to like be endearing towards him from this poor prince. And then awkwardly, Quentin King, his harpy, and his knights go outside off Elysium grounds.
Britta is still trembling a little bit as she steps backwards towards the group, and looks around, not entirely certain how to process what just happened.
Johnny turns around, goes over to Miles. "I am so sorry for that."
Miles kind of just shrugs at Johnny's apologies. He's like, "Hey, all sorts of things happen in different domains."
Okay, this might be the weirdest thing that's happened in my own life.
Okay. First, Britta, are you okay?
Isn't Roman Pendragon still sitting here? I think we might want to cut the chatter.
He is looking right at the group and just kind of letting you have your time.
Yeah.
This is all beneath him.
That was more indicated with a face when you started like,
"Hey," Miles gives Neil the look, and then Neil immediately goes, "Oh shit, yeah," and turns and defers to Miles' wisdom in shutting the fuck up about her emotions right now.
With that, Britta turns to look to Pendragon and see if he does have something to say.
He gives this slight smile. "Well, that was interesting."
"Agreed."
"Welcome to Boston. As you can imagine, His Grace was told that you would be here not simply for the hunting of Ms. Rollins, but because the group of you have been placed into a very difficult position by your prince and the domain that you hail from. And so, while you are outside of that domain, free of the yoke of Upton Rollins, I thought we might have a conversation about the future of this region." He kind of like walks forward. You can kind of like hear like the click of his shoes as like the whole room is quiet, and one by one, all of the little kindred that are here and there kind of make a point of leaving.
"We're alone in this throne room now?"
"You are." And Pendragon kind of gets cozy, sitting down in the recliner, crossing his legs, and looking towards the group of you.
"So what is it you would like to discuss?"
"I think I just defined that."
"I meant the next parts."
"The next part is we address the fact that Upton Rollins is an idiot. And he is going to get the people of your domain killed. Sorry, more people of your domain killed. It is my intention to take New Haven. I'm sure you've pieced all of that together. But I find myself in a challenging position where I must consider how much of New Haven there will be when I have taken it. And it is my belief that with a group of you, I can claim the domain of New Haven without significant bloodshed."
"So what you're saying is that you don't want to be responsible with another prince's blood on your hands and have the Archons coming breathing down your throat."
"I have never met an Archon that is a threat to me. Archons are pawns. Pawns of Justicars who are in turn pawns. This is beyond that. This is a level of the Jihad that is not easily understood, and I will not look down on you for not being able to understand it. But understand that the Sabbat is coming, and if I lay waste to New Haven, it becomes all the more difficult for New Haven to defend itself from the inevitable Sabbat attack. You understand this arithmetic. I will have New Haven, whether it is a pile of dust or a thriving domain. And which of the two it is, I must say, it is the group of you who gets to decide.
Why?
Influence, power, capacity for violence, a willingness to do it. You are not the strongest kindred of New Haven, but you are the most willing to fight. And willingness to fight is something within the Camarilla that can win battles before they begin.
And why should we help you? Besides saving supposed lives.
Well, you are the leader of your quarry. How many little favors can you perform for your prince at the risk of your friends before you start losing them? How many times must the group of you find yourselves in torpor, in danger, surrounded by enemies, without any support from your prince whatsoever?
And you're offering that support?
Of course. It is a byproduct of competent leadership.
Miles has his he's not wrong face on.
That thought is going through Wynn's head as well.
Pretty sure that thought is going through all of our heads.
Neil's thinking about the moon.
That tracks.
I haven't seen it in a couple days.
Can I ask a tangentially related question? All of us, at least in this conversation, are aware that the Sabbat are forming a massive, unprecedented crusade. Do we know why? Do you know why?
Did your sire not tell you? He looks at Miles.
Not in so many words.
I see. The Sabbat have reinforced the position in Mexico City and have amassed incredible power. That power has begun to sweep up the East Coast. Archons, Justicars. They've never fought the Sabbat who have this level of ferocity. Most of the Camarilla's leadership resides in Europe and domains that have never seen the Zulu form. They have never seen the results of a blood feast. They have not seen the Sabbat's power. Their strategic choices are made without any understanding of what it is that they are dealing with. And the Sabbat knows this.
I guess I meant, why now?
Now is the time when all manner of actions are coming into play.
Yeah.
The Sabbat are prepared for centuries, and it seems only now their ruler, the regent of the Sabbat, the one who sits in Cain's throne, has indicated that they are ready for the conquest of the Camarilla. And so now we are hunted. But there are things that the Sabbat fears, and I have taught them to fear us. And that is going to provide a degree of protection that your Upton Rowlands never can. Your Archons, they maintain their own lives for now, but they will sacrifice you to preserve them, and they will still lose. The only way to defeat the Sabbat is to remind them of fear that they have not felt since mortality.
I don't disagree, but I'm not sure changing leadership will help either. Even if he is not particularly well-suited to this kind of job.
Is that your word for it?
Miles makes a small shrug and...
Before continuing, you might want to take a moment to be honest with yourself.
I know about Rowlands.
Then you know the consequences that your domain suffers because of his incompetence. So can you really look at me and say that you don't know that there will be a difference when he is so sad, so weak, that you can't even speak of him without sugarcoating it?
Putting you in power, on the other hand, would mean that instead of a puppet prince that allows us the freedom to make our own choices in how we defend New Haven, we're willingly given up as sacrifices for your war. I've heard rumors about how you wage war. I've been told to embrace Bruja for your war. I'm not sure that that's what I want to be serving.
That's because if you had it your way, you would serve no one. But I think you understand that what you want is not something you will be able to have. So rather than worry about whether or not I am this brutal war monger that you call me, and yes, many of those rumors are true, recognize that the way Upton has it, it is just you protecting your quartery. It is just you protecting the people that you care for. And when you are gone, they will have no one. The mortals of that domain, the humans who have made New Haven their home, you know more than anyone here what the Sabbat will do unless faced with a superior opposition.
And I also recognize what the sound of an elder vampire trying to sound empathetic sounds like. And when you said mortals and humans, you nailed it right on the head, bub. You don't give a shit about any of that.
No, but I know that you do. And whether or not I care doesn't matter, because you do.
See, the one thing that I do believe is that I do believe you're going to make New Haven yours one way or the other. A pile of ash, or a somewhat assembled defense. And I think that's exactly how you want it. You'd rather have the defense, because that means the speed bump would work a little bit faster for you. But either way, you're planning to sacrifice the entirety of New Haven. Am I wrong?
I sacrifice nothing to the Sabbat. You grossly underestimate my desire to win on every front.
And you're sure of your winning?
Yes, so too is the Sabbat.
Then why would they attack?
Attack you now, in New Haven, while I am not in control of it? That is a silly question.
I mean, why would they attack en masse if they know you hold the Northeast?
They're going to take every domain that they can, because right now, I don't hold all of the Northeast. And if they can strike soon enough, if Upton Rollins and the group of you can resist just long enough, they may be able to have New Haven yet. But it will be them or me. So no, I will not pretend to have empathy for your peasant morality. But I will speak to you of the math, the undeniable truth about what comes next.
And you would have our backs.
That is how war works. Now, I recognize that this is not an easy choice, so I do not expect you to make it here in this moment. So I will take my leave for now, and we will speak again before you leave Boston.
We'll be here for a while.
Yes.
Will you reach out to us, or shall we contact you?
You will come to me when it is time. He turns and he walks away.
Britta has that mortal moment of letting a breath go before remembering that she doesn't have to breathe.
So in the short term, none of this has been helpful. Well, we have hospitality.
Yep. We got what we accomplished. Let's go back to the hotel room. And y'all look pretty great. So.
Okay. I know that that was a genuine attempt at a compliment, but I feel like it was a self-compliment because you bought us these clothes.
It can be both.
When Johnny gives a quizzical look at the two of you having said that at the same time.
I need to learn from him, guys. It's going to happen.
It's been a very weird night, Johnny. I just Miles never, and Winter on the same page.
I just never thought I'd see him actually start to rub off on you.
Well, I mean, look at the suit.
Maybe I'm rubbing off on him.
It's true. I just won't wear those shoes. They're gross.
Nope. Okay. All right. They are not as bad as they used to
be. I regret bringing this up. By the short term, I mean, yes, we have hospitality now, but we need to find Arabella and Wynn. Didn't you need to talk to the Tremere?
Yes.
Well, we can look around now, can't we?
Yes, that's true. But I don't have any Tremere contacts in the city, and everyone fled this room.
There's other rooms in the building, though.
They
right?
didn't go far. Mm. This is way too interesting for them to have gone far.
I mean, I hope so.
Honestly, if there's anyone like me, they're probably listening around a corner.
This is why I should always carry an air horn.
You mean freshly acknowledged?
No, please don't do that.
Britta, it was a joke. I wouldn't do that to you, buddy.
That would hurt so bad.
I know.
Britta kind of looks over to Miles and she laughs a bit, but she says, do you think our prince will be mad at us for that?
Truth be told, I can't tell, but...
Probably.
Okay.
I'm sure we can shift that.
I know that you just said people are probably listening, but there is no one in our immediate vicinity, so to dial this back a few minutes. Britta, are you okay?
I'm not really worried about that right now. Being acknowledged is something that will help us in this domain. I mean, we just need to get through this.
In this domain, yes. But still, okay, if you're not worried about it, that's fine. Just, okay. Second question. Miles, are you okay? That was shitty.
I mean, it's about as far as I expected.
Yeah, I know, and we talked about it a lot, and we prepped it, but I still...
Oh, I'm fine. Apparently, they let this guy run the place, so that's what happens.
Neil is flashing back to the couple of times that Miles' authority was questioned, and he frenzied.
Listen, I didn't really expect to be acknowledged, and not entirely sure that I know what it means. I'm just surprised that I answered the question correctly, so... If we can keep going and just get this figured out.
Yeah, good job with that. Mm-hmm. Let's go find someone for Wynn to talk to, and then I guess...
Maybe speak with the other Scourges about where Arabella might be holed up.
Sullivan said he could take us to the spot where they had found the burned other Scourge.
Depending on how long ago that was, I might be able to... Get something. I just need a starting point.
Yeah, it's a clue at least. But let's go see if we can go mingle with the Tremere, apparently.
Okay.
Oh, right. And now I have a vow of silence. Thanks for that.
In front of Quentin?
Yeah.
There were other people here.
But he did couch it in the, he won't talk in front of you.
Okay. I kind of missed that. I was a little...
Yeah, no. That's why I was checking in on how you were doing.
Besides, I think you need some practice at disobeying the prince occasionally.
I think you do it enough for the both of us.
I'll keep on doing it till it rubs off on you a little bit.
All right.
Can we stop talking about rubbing off and like, just go, fine.
It wasn't weird till you just made it weird.
Yeah.
Johnny starts walking off to go find a place to smoke.
What are you guys talking about?
I also leave with Johnny.
Neil's just left fucking holding the bag and shit. All right.
It's a fanning pack.
And wanders off after him.
It is a fanny pack.
So the group of you start moving together through Elysium, is that correct?
Sure.
Just splitting apart?
Nah, I don't see the point of doing that in enemy territory.
Johnny gonna go smoke?
Sure am. Do I see a balcony or something somewhere?
So where you are, there's actually a pretty easy path to what's like a big smoking area kind of like outside. And there's also just kind of different rooms that are kind of smoking areas inside.
So if I'm looking for Constantine rejects, I'm going to look for smokers.
I mean, this is a vampire game. If we do need to socialize with people, we should probably go find where the smokers are.
Yeah. That's...
Oh my God.
It is where those with power gather.
Feels a little meta.
Just so that we're not... No one's wandering off alone. Wynn will go with Johnny to find, because she's just as likely to find someone to talk to outside as inside.
Okay. When you guys head outside, you find what looks to be a clique of three young women. All of them are kind of like very gothy, a lot of fishnets, black lipstick, dark eyeshadow, and they're covered in what looks like, you know, pentagrams and all sorts of like little icons. And the three of them are smoking cloves and kind of just like relaxing out in the cold. When you kind of like look their way a little too long, the three of them paused from whatever hushed conversation they were having and look towards you.
Hi there. Wynn Cabot from New Haven.
So are the rumors true? One of them asks, kind of like giving this look with a corked eyebrow.
Which ones?
That you're a prisoner?
No.
You sure?
Why would there be rumors that I'm a prisoner? Like,
motions with her finger for you to get closer.
She comes closer.
So there's a bit of news going around Boston right now after some conversation that happened with the prince that you and your friends are not allowed to leave the city. So is it true?
Not as far as I know.
Very interesting. So, I'm Sonia.
Pleasure to meet you, Sonia.
Welcome to Boston.
Thank you.
And I hope things don't go really bad for you here.
You and me both.
What brings you to the area?
Couple matters of business. I'm actually looking to speak with someone from Clan Tremere.
We can help.
Can you now?
Yep.
All right. I need to get into contact with the Giovanni.
What do you need the Giovanni for?
Some trouble with the Shadowlands.
Around here, it's the milliners who are kind of like handling a lot of things. I don't know if you know about that. It's like a subgroup of the Giovanni. Mm-hmm. They're like relatives, but not relatives. And then there's this guy called Ambrogino, and he's pretty powerful from the Giovanni.
Name rings a bell.
And if you want, we could maybe help you out, but I don't know if you're in some kind of trouble. I don't want to bring the Giovanni, you know.
Well, I'm not in any kind of trouble.
Well, do you want to confirm that, maybe?
Would that smooth things out for you?
It would make me feel safer.
I can confirm that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Sonia.
Thank you, Wynn.
Wynn kind of takes a step back. It took some palpable effort for her eyes to not glaze over just at the general tone of Sonia, but
Sonia looks at the others as you're like walking away and they're like, did you smell that?
Oh my god.
Get back over to Johnny, who's on the other side of the area smoking. The hell was that all about?
Fuck if I know. Apparently I'm a prisoner.
What?
Apparently we're not allowed to leave the city.
Hell with that, I'll get out of the city whenever we want.
That's kind of my thought too, but I will confirm that we are, in fact, not trouble so that I can talk to the Giovanni.
I believe Pendragon said something about not leaving the city until we talked to him.
Did he?
Yeah, that was the last part of the thing that he said.
Oh, I thought he meant to go back to New Haven.
Not here today. I meant before we go back to New Haven. So, effectively, yes.
The prince of this domain said we were free to leave whenever we wanted. He explicitly said that.
It's true. The hierarchy presented didn't seem to enforce that the same way.
I'm just saying that the prince of this domain said we could leave.
Right, does it matter? Do you need what form of confirmation do you need for them?
I suspect, I don't know. I don't really know, but they weren't spectacularly helpful.
Well, it sounds like they wanted to know that they wouldn't be getting in trouble for helping you.
Right. So my first instinct is to talk to the Harpy, but that may or may not be a good idea.
You know, I hate to say this, but you might be able to call in a favor with Reese.
Didn't Raven have your contacts or something like that?
She did, but I haven't heard back from her yet.
Did you, like, try calling her?
She doesn't have a phone. If she does, she hasn't given me the number.
Flashback to early in season one, where Prince Roland goes, Gangrel don't have phones.
Damn it, he's right.
One does now. All of the Gangrel in New Haven have a phone now.
It's a Nokia.
Sounds like rumors are gotten ahead of us.
It's not surprising in a domain like this.
That happens.
Maybe we could start looking to Arabella, see if Raven gets in contact with us, because I don't know anyone here.
I will say it a second time, even though it really bothers me to have to do this, but we could call Reese. Their clan's very tight. If you have his number.
I do.
You could make a call to him, have him get in touch with the Chantry up here, and he could inform them that giving Wynn the help she needs is in their best interest.
And what are we willing to give up for that?
I would probably have to owe him something.
Bullshit. We're on business from the domain. We're working for the prince. If he wants this taken care of, which I'm sure he does, then he'll do this.
This isn't technically business for the prince, though. This is my own thing.
He doesn't have to know that.
I suspect he already knows that.
He'll probably ask.
Well, which, then lie
to him. Fine. It's just, it'd be what? Like a minor boon? A trivial boon? To just be like, hey, can you... It's not a...
If he wants something too much, we... Oh no, he'll probably screw me over.
Yeah, just...
Let me see what we can do here first. We can always call Reese later.
What did those girls say? Anyways, like, you...
Asked
talking.
If the rumors were true that I was a prisoner here.
And but they said that they would just help put you in contact?
They told me the family that I would probably need to get into contact with, but they wanted to make sure that they're not sending trouble to the Giovanni.
Yeah, which totally makes sense, but they said they would help out, you just...
Better plan of action, I just figured it out. You, the new sheriff, call the prince and tell the prince, not ask him, tell the prince to inform Seneschal Reese that he is to give a call to the chantry up in Boston and inform them that it's all right that we go see them.
Well, it's a different domain. I mean, will that really go through?
It would be Miles calling Roland's.
No, I think he meant between the Reese and the chantry here.
Yeah, but if you call the prince and have the prince tell Reese, then no boons change hands, and you're working within the structure of the domain and using some of the benefits of your ill-gotten title.
Why don't we see what we have otherwise before we start calling in people from the other domain and causing them for us to owe them more?
Where's Scourge Sullivan?
I don't know. Somewhere around.
Probably doing Scourge stuff.
We have his phone number.
Because I want to know if there's a Gangrel primage in here.
Okay, so here's the question, right? We have hospitality now beyond the 3-day window, but there's so much to do. We don't want to spend forever here. So, what is highest priority? You could ask. You know, word is now out now that you've talked to the coven over there that you want to talk to the Giovanni. I'm sure it'll make its way around if rumors are already making their way around, and we can talk to the Scourge and call him anyways, because he had mentioned that he would give us a starting point, whatever, so we could start looking for Arabella.
And then hopefully Raven gets in contact with you, since that has been established, and we go from there.
And if within, what do you want to say, 24 hours, we don't have a better lead on how to find the Giovanni for you to talk to, then we call in favors for Reese.
Fine by me.
We're dead. We got time on our hands here.
Right.
At least a little bit.
Well, time is a factor.
Yeah, but 24 hours is reasonable.
Well, it was less than 24 hours before we got made by Arabella, and she sent a hit squad of 3 guys to our haven kill us in our sleep. Or did you forget that part?
No, I didn't. What? How could I forget? I was the one who woke up.
Uh-huh.
I didn't forget. No. I know that.
We're in better accommodations.
What I'm saying,
now.
Though, is, Johnny, like, you're inadvertently agreeing with me here, because I'm saying, hey, let's pursue the Arabella thing and wait the 24 hours on finding the Giovanni. That's just, I don't think that I'm being unreasonable.
Also, it might take you more time, depending on what we find out, to start narrowing down Arabella.
Oh, yeah, it could take a while. I have no idea. All we know about Arabella is, what, cloven hooves and things.
When did you get any sense of what the girls wanted to prove that you're not a threat?
Besides messing with us?
Why don't we ask them? Hey, the craft!
No, I would...
Yeah, I'm talking to you over here.
One of them looks at the others. I think that old guy's talking to us. I just kind of look at him.
Johnny, we could maybe have someone else in the coterie go talk to them. But, forget it.
Sonia, what would smooth things over for you?
Knowing that I'm not going to get in trouble?
Oh, boy.
We're a little confused on where the rumor's coming from, so we're trying to figure it out to help, but...
It came from the prince, and then other people said it, and then I heard it from them.
Well, the prince told us we were free to come and go.
I don't know how to explain this to you, but... The prince is kind of unique. Yeah, the others kind of give her an encouraging nod, like unique was a good choice.
So you need to hear it from someone else?
So I just want to make sure that I'm not going to get in trouble. I don't really care how.
Win. Neil says this like to Win, but loud enough for them to hear. That thing you wanted to talk to the Giovanni about, it was kind of about helping them with a mutual problem, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't see how that could get anybody in trouble if you are helping the Giovanni.
I mean, that is true. I am here to help the Giovanni with a problem. They put out a call for people like me.
Well, do they, like, give you contact information?
I heard it secondhand.
Okay, well, I don't know how to tell you this, but the Giovanni are very busy right now, and, you know, if you're planning to help them, you need to, like, I don't know, be clear about it.
So clarity is something important to you, then?
Yeah, and okay. Also, you're not allowed to leave Boston, and we all have to report it if you try to leave, so don't do that.
Okay.
Well, we're not going anywhere for a while anyways.
Yeah, we have business
to conclude. Yeah, I just kind of said that. They kind of look at each other. And then, like, look at Neil like he's a weirdo.
As soon as the trio of women look at Neil like he's a weirdo, he just shuts up and, like, folds in on himself.
Would it be all right, then, if we could get contact information for the Giovanni so that we could share that we want to help? And that way we don't have to leave. We'll just be talking.
Fine, but you didn't get it from me?
No, of course not.
All right. It's kind of, like, starts going through her stuff, and she... why don't you give me a perception occult roll?
She has to dump out her purse, and then...
4 successes.
With 4 successes, you notice that among the little, like, dangly symbols that she has all over the place that she probably got at, like, Hot Topic or whatnot, there is a cloven hoof.
Hmm. Those are cute charms.
Thanks, I guess.
Where'd you get that one?
She takes out her notes and starts writing it down. She, like, practically shoves the note at you that has the phone number on it. Mind your business.
Mind your mouth.
Okay, mind your mouth?
Guests.
There we go.
Here.
Well, it looks like we're done here.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. We didn't hear it from you.
Bye.
Bye.
She kind of looks at them. Did you see her eyes? like start discussing among themselves. I think she's a gangrel.
All right. Thank you, Britta.
You're welcome. All right.
All right. Contact information acquired.
Yep. And we found out that there's a rule we didn't know about. So, good progress. You want to call or do you want to move?
What do you guys want to do? I've got progress made. If you guys want to take a leap towards Arabella...
I don't think a whole lot is going to be happening here for us, unless somebody disagrees with me.
And Sullivan was our ride, unless we take a cab. So,
well, it's Boston. I mean, we could take the train.
I assume that's me.
Miles, it's you.
Excuse me. I open the phone. Miles here.
It's been a long time, Miles. You recognize the voice as Arabella Rollins.
Good evening.
I heard you're in Boston.
I am.
I heard you talk to Roman Pendragon.
Not for the first time.
We need to talk.
All right.
Somewhere public.
That's agreeable to me. I heard the last person that came to talk to you ended up ashes, so...
Well, things are more complicated than I would like.
Always are.
But we need to talk.
Sure. Who? Just me or everyone else?
I don't care who you bring, Miles. Quincy Market, 30 minutes.
All right. I'll see you then.
She hangs up.
I have a lead.
Well, that was quick.
Oh, yes. Good. What is it?
We need to be at Quincy Market in 30 minutes. So, good news. Not enough time to change.
Your priorities are
skewed? Yes.
All right, let's get our stuff back and get ready.
Neil, why don't you give me a perception plus alertness roll?
I don't have heightened senses up, so it's just a regular one, right?
Yep.
Unfortunately. What's the diff you want?
7.
3 successes.
With 3 successes, you will know that while the group of you have been talking, there has been someone kind of quietly following you around Elysium at this point.
Do I have a read on like who they are, or I just kind of know someone's watching?
Young woman, strawberry blonde, actually dressed rather well for the occasion. And she is kind of doing that thing where she's paying attention to other conversations, but she always has an ear towards you.
Not wanting to tip anyone. Well, no. Yeah, Neil sort of freezes for a second. Well, they can probably just hear us anyways. Turns and makes very awkward looks towards a fellow skulker. We've a fan.
Sorry, what?
A fester.
Kind of looks around, a trying creeper? To spot.
Well, that depends entirely on the intention. I don't like that I said a me and you immediately jumped to a creeper.
Okay, we already know that there are certain rules in place here, right? And they're going to keep an eye on us, and that's fine, because we're going to act to help.
You're right. Johnny will take his hands and clap very loudly.
Britta will yelp. She doesn't have heightened senses on. She just didn't expect that.
Does anybody else yelp, though?
The 3 Tremere women yelp and look really annoyed at the weird old guy. And then... there is this, again, a young woman, strong, strawberry blonde hair. She wasn't, like, obfuscated or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But you can, like, see this, like, wince when you clap.
Let's go find the coat check.
All right.
We have to get back all of the knives that we left, apparently.
It's just as a general pointer, sometimes when I'm in that position, I either don't want to be seen or I'm waiting for an opportunity to be seen. So if we go to the coat check and it's a wait for an opportunity, you know, that might be a great time for someone who wanted to talk to us to be able to talk to us. Neil says out loud,
"Why do I feel like you're not talking to me?" But all right, let's keep going.
I am talking to everyone.
Yeah, I got that sense.
He's very inclusive.
That's true.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We got all over the place. Compliments and insults today. I don't know.
A creeper wasn't meant to be an insult.
How?
Because you creep.
It's not an insult if it's true, and I guess.
If it was coming from me, it would have been an insult. Yeah. But coming from Wen, you know that was actually probably meant as a compliment.
Yeah, creeper is a type of vine, right?
Yes.
See?
Yeah, I'm just going to go get my coat, I guess.
And we go to get our weapons back.
I'm pretty sure tomorrow I'm going to mean creeper as a compliment, and you're going to mean it as an insult.
Oh, hello there.
Hello.
Bad news. We're not turning over any weapons. Your personal effects are required so that you can be tracked if need be. But that said, you know, enjoy
Johnny
your night.
Reaches out and grabs his shirt, thinks better of it, and then kind of lets him go.
Yeah, I know. It's a rough one. But, you know, try to be positive about it.
Noted. Thanks for the advice.
Gotcha. So, that's it. He starts to kind of walking off. The woman with strawberry blonde hair kind of like stops him. You see this like quick exchange of a conversation between them. And he gives her the bag. And she approaches the group of you and is like, gesture of goodwill. And starts handing you guys back your stuff.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Although, should we be taking these back? Says Neil, who only gave over pepper spray and is not emotionally attached to it in any way.
Well, if you're not supposed to have them back, I will accept responsibility and I can work that out.
Great. Okay. Thanks. I
just had some questions about a fire that happened pretty recently, and I was just looking to know if you knew anything about it. Meanwhile, Britta is saying 2 things at once.
Mm-hmm.
And as she is speaking to them about a fire, mm-hmm. The words you hear
mm-hmm.
are, I represent Elsa Linden's will, and the Gemini League is watching the situation. If you attempt to leave Boston, you will be killed.
Do I hear that she's saying anything else, or do I hear that?
Yeah.
There's like a background noise like of this, like other sound.
And she's like, wah, 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 just giving this long-winded explanation as to why she has these like this like very small handful of questions.
Britta has a very different expression than it might seem appropriate for what she's saying. There's a widening of eyes as she like takes in some new information, which might seem a bit odd if there's questions happening about something that we would know about. And she kind of dips her head, making, you know, eye contact with the woman very seriously, holding on to her words, and then says, just, she nods. She nods, and her eyebrows are a little higher
John
than they ought to be.
John of the Tremere is going to provide you with a haven. They will make sure that you are not tracked, but we do not have a means of getting you out of the domain just yet. Do not attempt to flee, because Roman Pendragon has the power to summon you to him. If you attempt to go, he will kill you. So we must find another means. I'm going to give you an address. This address is where the Tremere are going to meet you and make arrangements to keep you at a safe location during your time here in Boston. Is there anyone that the group of you need to contact in New Haven in the meantime while we have figured out a way to work this out? Because right now you are hostages.
Would Weathers need to know about the fire? Britta says, looking at the group at large.
What?
I mean, he'd probably be interested in it just in, like, a general sense.
I mean, to follow up on the investigation,
well,
maybe.
No, but, like, he...
No, if I said Weathers, you want to hear about a fire up in Boston? He'd look at me like I had three heads.
Yeah, but what about one where you were, like, a cool guy?
If he needed to help us here.
To be perfectly honest, I don't think that Weathers would think I was cool at all for what I did in that house. I think he'd probably have a few select words to say to me about what I did in that building.
Dear Johnny, please don't rip the heads off of people.
Is there anyone...
Talk about that maybe in polite company, at least?
That's fair.
Is there anyone else that we could talk to if we needed to about that fire or anything similar?
Can I make
a perception roll?
Roll me perception plus subterfuge.
Britta, you're looking extra deer in the headlights right now. I don't know what the heck's gotten into you.
Two successes.
Okay. Britta is definitely attempting to communicate in code with you.
Raven and Kabir might be interested in the fire.
What, Kabir?
He's really interested in my well-being.
Ew, he is.
And stories.
Are you actually falling for that weirdo? I mean, I'm sure. I mean, I love the guy to death, but
we can talk about it later.
Is that someone, please, that you could reach out to about the fire? Either one of them?
Whoa. This she hasn't even introduced herself. By the way, you haven't introduced yourself.
I'm Veronica.
Hi, Veronica.
Pleased to meet you.
Good to meet you, too.
And what exactly are you doing here in Boston? Well, listening in on us?
To be fair,
the Ur Codex is something of interest to me.
Huh.
And as I understand it, the group of you are here looking into matters regarding Arabella Rowlands. And I've had some trouble with her in the past. I had a haven that had burned because she's in pursuit of a few articles that I am in possession of.
Oh.
And so I thought I might bring it up. Meanwhile, yes, I can determine a means of contacting these people and warning them about what is taking place.
Thank you for your interest.
John Rhys and Elsa Linden will send word once we have a plan of action for extracting the group of you.
All right.
Is that in the doublespeak, or is
yep,
that...
Yep, that's all just...
Toreador to Toreador.
Well, we don't have much time, so it's been a pleasure to meet you, Veronica. Thank you for following up on our harrowing escapades.
Apologies for any interruptions.
No, thank you. And you'll send on any results from your investigation soon?
I'd be happy to share findings regarding the Ur Codex and the like. So if you hear anything, I am willing to pay boons, what have you.
Well, we'll keep that
in
mind,
I guess. She's talking plainly about the Ur Codex?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Well, I guess we can keep that in mind.
I like that you made the out of character symbol with your fingers, by the way.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Sure.
She slips off.
Britta looks directly at Neil and...
Let's get moving before we start talking about more stuff.
She looks back at Miles, nods, walks fast.
What's... What?
Let's get in a car first and out of Elysium.
What? You just gave me a weird look.
She did just give him a weird look. It's almost like Johnny, she's trying to communicate with him.
Johnny puts his knife back in his boot, takes the stake, puts it back in his jacket.
Okay. What do you...
When you get outside, Sullivan in the car he brought you guys here and gone.
I guess we flag a taxi.
Or we could just take the T.
We flag a taxi.
We live in Connecticut. We have terrible public transit.
I'm not taking...
This is like a once
in a life... Can you get in?
I guess.
And she taps the side of her head with her two fingers.
If you want me to...
In.
And with a commanding voice, Neil will attempt to get inside Britta's brain.
Go for it.
I start getting us a taxi. However long that might take.
Sorry. For a group your size, it's just sedan after sedan, simple cars.
Where are we going? Why don't we just walk?
Because we need to be there quickly.
Where are we going?
Quincy Market.
Why are we going to Quincy Market?
Because we need to be in Quincy Market in 30 minutes. Probably like 25 minutes. And I will tell you once we get into a car.
To be perfectly honest, I think Neil might be right about this. I think moving and grabbing the T might actually be faster.
Do you know how the transportation works here?
I do, actually.
You know how the trains run here?
I do, actually.
Boston is also... Boston is designed where their public transit is actually really easy to use, but their streets are hot nonsense, unlike New York. Neil will try and get into her head. What's your current willpower rating?
3.
Okay. 5 successes, so I can read some pretty deep thoughts, but right now I'm just trying to figure out why you want me in your head. Like, what are you trying to project to me?
I am trying to give Neil all the information that I was just given in the double talk.
Okay, yeah, so she kind of, you see these, like, kind of very, what's becoming very deeply rooted concerns that if the group of you try to leave, you will be summoned before Upton Rowlands and killed. I'm sorry, before Roman Pendragon and killed.
And the information as well about the safe house provided by Reese and all of that, she's projecting that information through the link.
Wow. That is not at all what I heard.
And you understand why, right?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Can you... And she points at the other coterie members.
Oh,
You insist on the tea, then we can take the tea.
Hey, man, I've done plenty of driving on Boston roads, and I think we're much better off just taking the tea. Besides, we got good line of sight on a car. We can get into one where there's not many other passengers. We can kind of talk in confidence if there's nobody on the same car as us.
I'll follow your direction on this. If we can stop at the hotel before Quincy Market to grab stuff, then that'd be fine, but otherwise...
If I know anything about Boston's public transit, the only issue is it shuts down at like 1 a.m. and it is impossible. And as Neil is talking, he is going to try and shoot that information into people's brains.
Pew, roll it.
What's the diff on this?
It's your current willpower.
Oh, boy.
You're going to be all right.
Diff 2.
Diff 1.
Diff 6.
All I need is one success to implant a thought, and I'm not trying to hide that it's me, so. That's Johnny. That's Wynn. That is not Miles. No.
No.
As a matter of fact, I get no successes on Miles.
You shouldn't have gone in this order. It gave you a false sense of security.
It made me feel good, and it was wrong.
Oh, this is easier than I thought. Maybe I'm better at this.
Oh, I'm so good
at this. Wow, this is so easy. Winds went like nothing. And just, oh! Miles' fucking will of force just stiff arms your brain.
Please leave my brain alone.
Anyways, so... Please. As Neil is talking about like the merits and downfalls of Boston's public transit, the information from Britta gets projected pretty clearly in his voice directly into your brains.
I don't know how Johnny would feel about that.
This is, I think, the first time Neil has
done
telepathy to anyone in the coterie, which is part of the reason why he was so reticent to like just... Jump
I imagine
in
we're walking
not
to the
pick up on it.
T stop, and then you will probably stop.
Yeah, Britta's looking at people after looking at Neil. Like, she's waiting for the input.
Everybody has boots of, or shoes of some sort, and I think Britta probably has what?
Johnny kind of reels a little bit and like kind of like slaps at his head a little bit. And you can already see that his beast's hackles are rising. I don't know if this would necessarily send him into a full-on frenzy, but I'm going to make a self-control check.
Don't you have like no willpower?
I have very little willpower. Interesting.
No. I don't like interesting.
This is your idea, Britta. Fix it.
Oh, certainly gonna try.
Yeah, so he starts smack pawing at his own head, kind of like as if he's trying to get something out of it, out of his ear.
Johnny, I asked him to. Okay.
And then his eyes start to kind of shake, like you guys notice that they do. And he's kind of starting to like get ready to like pop.
I asked him to, and I'm sorry, but I don't know any other way that we can share that.
Give me leadership.
Can I actually support her in this to try and give her extra dice, or not?
Yeah,
so
you can need another.
Okay, I'm gonna try and aid Brett in this. Just like
you can passion.
I can't passion him. Using powers feels shitty.
But, isn't that how we got here? But it is how we got here.
Passion's not gonna.
Honestly, considering everything that's been happening, passion might be the right fucking call for Johnny.
Yep.
He has been on edge since we got here. So
as Britta is talking to him, Neil is gonna look over and just be like, "Hey, Johnny, all that stuff about the tea. You heard me, right? You heard me talking about how we can safely use the tea."
He actually just gets more irritated. Somebody trying to explain to him how to use transportation.
We're very funny.
So that gives me an extra dice, or what does that do?
The difficulty on the self-controls.
Your humanity is a 6, right?
5.
Ooh, makes it easier for me. I just...
Goody!
7 successes.
Nice.
Doesn't that do it for a way longer period of time, though?
Yes, it does. No, I'm sorry, 6 successes.
So, like, a year?
3 months.
3 months really? Of what?
3 months of calm down, deaden your emotions a little bit, don't get so angry so easy.
I'm going to call it a -1 difficulty on your frenzy checks.
I feel like it's a net positive for right now.
Manipulation plus leadership. I have 1 success.
Johnny, give me a self-control roll. 1 success because of the -1 diff.
A storm of success.
His mouth kind of closes a little bit. His fangs retract and his eyes kind of come back to being focused.
I know, we're not used to living somewhere with public transit.
Neil, what did you do?
Nothing. I'm just talking about the tea, he says, looking directly at your eyes like, there's a reason I did that and we're not talking about it openly on the street.
Yeah, when she did not have Johnny's reaction because she's used to weird things going on in her head a little bit. But the fact that someone kind of just dumped all that in, she has some kind of processing issue, and is, while Johnny is freaking out, she is just kind of blinking uncontrollably, not fully in her senses.
We can all talk more about the transportation options later.
Yeah, maybe once we go have our meeting and then, you know, maybe hunker down for the day. At, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
But right now we have a meeting to get to, right, Miles?
That's correct. The thing I've been trying to get us to go to.
Right. Yeah. Which is why I was talking about...
Until you started irritating him with talk about the tea. Yes, I saw.
All right.
Miles completely outside of this weird 4-way conversation.
He knows how to get us there. Just let him do his job.
Okay, I'm sorry, Johnny. I didn't mean to
annoy
you.
No, I think I overreacted a bit.
No, that's okay.
So where?
It's okay.
Yeah, he looks okay. Really thrown for a loop.
So Johnny, where do we get this?
Right up on the corner here, and he leads the group up to where the tea is.
Fantastic! I can't wait for public transportation.
Path of Night is an actual play of Vampire the Masquerade podcast set in the classic world of darkness. Britta Ashcroft the Toreador was played by Rebecca Steigelfest. Johnny Saxon the Bruja was played by Garrett Gabby. Miles Davenport the Venture was played by Tim Davis. Neil Foster the Malkavian was played by Rob Muirhead. Wynn Cabot the Gangrel was played by Erica Webb. Your storyteller was Lex Lopez. Recording by Rebecca Steigelfest. This episode was edited by Rob Muirhead. The music used in this episode was January Grunge Love Fest by Technoaxe. Visit them online at technoaxe.com. Path of Night uses the 20th Anniversary Edition rule set of Vampire the Masquerade with a few limited house rules. Vampire the Masquerade is owned by Paradox Interactive. Make sure to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Path of Night Pod, on Facebook at facebook.com/Path of Night Podcast, or email us at pathofnightpodcast@gmail.com. See you next time, Kindred.
Now, Wynn's strategy for that whole court discussion was, I'm going to be very quiet.
Yeah.
I'm gonna yes sir, no sir, and that's about how it's gonna go.
I actually suddenly got worried about the scene because when I scanned the table, all of you looked at me like, yo, I'm not gonna say anything.
Yep.
I had been super informed.
And you guys were not looking at each other with that face, and I was like, yo, this scene's about to go dead.
No, there was an understanding.
I need to like pick people out and be like, you talk, say stuff.
I appreciate you. You're like, Wynn, you look like you could talk. Tell a story. And she's like, well, I could, but Johnny.
Yeah. But the Brewha's probably slightly better than the Gangrel.
Have you met Johnny?
No, see, our plans also got interrupted because it's the first, like, you guys were like, all right, we're really going to put Britta forward. And I did it for a little bit. And he's like, oh, you're not allowed to talk. What's up?
What I
see you are relying on the Toreador. No.
What I should have done was I should have been like, Miles? And you'd have been like, I'm not doing this. Neil? And then have Neil be like,
I would love to continue that bit. I would have loved to continue that bit.
I'm so glad. I'm glad that fucking Mickey Mouse is your voice for Neil's fucking voice.
That's a good impression.
Hi, guys. I do blood magic and stuff.
That's pretty much right on point.
God damn it.
Yes.
I seek the mastery of heaven and earth. Woohoo!
Oh, shit.
That's what's going into the end of the episode. Just that line.